Govern America. Govern America. The rest of the nation is still sleeping. They'll be bidding America goodbye.
From just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web, this is the third and final hour of Govern America. As the afternoon or morning wears on, wherever you happen to be, whatever time zone you happen to find yourself in, and it continues to be the 18th of October, 2014, I'm going to go to the phone lines this hour at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And I have a report here I'm going to share with you as the hour progresses here. This is a pretty monumental thing as well. Comes straight out of the Rockefeller Foundation, and it foreshadowed some of this stuff. But I want to knock out some phone calls first because we have some people stacking up here. Let's go first to Art, who's off the grid. Art, go right ahead, sir.
Hey, Darren, how's it going, brother? Hello, Nancy. How you doing, sister girl?
Good to talk to you, Art.
Yeah, I don't get to call in near as much as I used to because I'm kind of busy doing my little homestead thing.
Yeah, but I understand.
I wanted to talk about this Ebola thing because I don't believe that there's enough attention being paid to this, and I agree with everything you guys have said up to this point. But you brought up a couple points I wanted to comment on. And the first one was, it was kind of like, I think it was a rhetorical question. I'm pretty sure I know that this was a rhetorical question. But for those who may not be quite as aware as others are, the question, why would the United States be sending thousands of troops to these Ebola
allegedly
areas where Ebola is in the outbreak system? Why would they be doing this? Well, let's think about, we'll go out on a little bit of a limb here and say, what a great way to reduce the number of those so-called possible domestic terrorists by killing them before they become veterans. Just an idea. Just a thought.
Yeah.
But also, we gotta make that humanitarian appearance, like we really care about these poor little third worlders over there in Liberia or wherever. And then the second thing.
Well, before you go on to the second thing, let me comment on the first thing. I'm sure that all those soldiers that go over there, if they really are infected with some African disease, whether it be Ebola or something else, I'm sure when they come back, the VA will be very happy to take care of them. Okay. That was my point. Go ahead to point number two.
Okay, point number two, and then I got one more after that. Point number two. Get that out of the way. Point number two, the question, what are the odds that this whole Ebola thing could be used as an excuse for organ transplant after the patient so supposedly dies? Because this topic has come up. Well, wait a minute. In order for an organ to be harvested, the patient must be alive, because you can't harvest a dead organ because it's no good. Patient must be alive when our organ is harvested in order for it to be good. But then again, you have to ask the question, what are some of the questions they ask when you organ donate? Have you ever had been exposed to AIDS or this or that or the other? Well, don't you think you wouldn't want to give somebody an Ebola-infected liver any more than you would an AIDS-infected liver, would you, Mr. and Mrs. Doctor?
Well, that was one of the points I was trying to make by saying that if these people were really infected, why are they taking their organs out? I mean, that doesn't make any sense unless the whole thing is a hoax in Africa, too.
Exactly. Well, maybe it's for further scientific study and research.
Yep.
I'm just
Nancy,
saying.
Do you have anything you wanted to add?
Well, there's a lot that we don't know. But what we do know is that depopulation is a global agenda. And the agenda for that came out of the United States. There's a whole lot of big, big people working on that, like Bill Gates, I suspect like the CDC, like George Soros. And, you know, these people, Rockefellers, you know, these people have been setting, you know, plans up. And, you know, everything that they said they were going to do thus far, I mean, they have done. And so, you know, we're in danger. That's all there is to it. We're in danger. Look at what they have done to this country.
Yeah. Well, look at what they've done to the world. I mean, everywhere they've gone, it has been turmoil, has been heartache, has been disaster, has been disease, has been famine. You know, and they try to portray themselves as the best hope for mankind. You know, they're world organizations.
Well, and you know, Darren, they call themselves benevolent. Well, we're helping people and we're doing this and we're doing that, when they know very well that all they're doing is lining their pockets with money and power, and they don't give a damn about people.
Exactly.
No people.
Art, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, my third and final point on the Ebola thing, and this is really what threw me for a whirl the other day when I first heard this. You got a guy comes over, he lands in Texas. This plane managed to get to several different cities after dropping him off. He pukes out in public. They call cleaning up, hosing down with a water hose. That's their cleanup for biohazard. That really works out really well. Then this guy, he dies, but also all of a sudden, one of his nurses, this spam, whatever her name is, she comes up positive, and they're going to fly her to a completely different state, thousands of miles, halfway across the country, to a whole new area where, who knows, maybe Ebola never made it to that area, but now it's there, and they're going to ship another one to Atlanta. It sounds to me, Darren, if this is real, it would sound to me like they're trying to position several patient zeros at various areas around the country to start a freaking outbreak.
Well, no. I wouldn't put that past them either.
No, I wouldn't either.
You know, and I'm not saying it's not real, but I don't think it's real. I think it's all made up. And I think I'm not saying I don't think people are dying, but we don't know what they're dying from. And this is the point. I mean, let's say the doctors say that your parents died of cancer. I have a mother who I'm told died of cancer. Now, the doctors said she died of cancer, but I don't know that that's what she died from. I mean, she allegedly had cancer, and I think she had cancer. But do I know that she died from cancer? Especially when I showed up and they gave her a breathing tube just to help her breathe a little. And next thing I know, she's completely dependent upon this breathing tube. And her condition steadily worsens and worsens very quickly. And as soon as I get to town, I had to go all the way to Alabama. And as soon as I get to town, the doctor is arguing immediately for me to take her off life support. They're pushing for her to go to her grave.
Do I know that
my mother died of cancer? No, I can't say that. It could very well be the hospital accelerated her decline. And this is the point. We don't know if people, when people die, we don't know if they die from one thing or the other. Because the medical staff, and again, folks, I'm sure that there are many very good doctors. There are very, very many nurses that do the best they can. But listen, when somebody is facing a problem, and let's say the medical staff screws up, you don't think that they construct a lie to cover their hind end? So we can't assume anything we're being told is the truth today.
And furthermore, the doctors and the nurses in this country do know what's going on. They do know what the push is from up top. They do know. They talk about it.
All right, I'll tell you what. We got to take a break here. Thanks, Art. I appreciate the call. We'll take other calls. 800-313-9443 after the break. 800-313-9443. Later on, I'll share from this Rockefeller report. You won't want to miss this, folks. We'll be back.
Oh, got my dander, got my roots. Treated us like pastors in town. They built us up and knocked us down.
All right, we're back. This is Govern America. As we continue here, governamerica.com is the website. We're taking your calls right now, and Ray is in Oregon. Ray, we had to very rudely cut you off because the clock is a very ruthless dictator. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I'd pretty much got my thought out. I'd just like to see us come together with a catchphrase, something that sums up what's going on as best we can, and be able to explain it in, you know, a few words, and concise, and just get the point across.
Ray, yeah. I want to address something
that you said.
You used the term critical mass, and I think that's very important, because what's reached critical mass are the people that's running this dog and pony show. They are using and causing terror to justify their use of terror against the world's people and the whole planet. And the world's militaries have to stop this insane participation with the unbelievable lunatics, and they have to start fighting for humanity's right to live and exist. And until that happens, you know, we're not going to win this thing.
Yeah. Well, I like the term. You're talking about terminology, Ray. I like the term sickness industrial complex, because that really describes very well that the pharmaceutical companies, the hospitals, the insurance companies, everyone that's really taking part in the incentive of making the population sick. And I would also include the food industry in many respects in that, because they work in tandem.
Yep.
You know, when people realize that there is a sickness industrial complex, then they'll realize that there is a war on against their health. The insurance company, that's another thing. They're a part of it as well.
Well, there's a war on for the life of the masses of humanity. They want them gone.
Yeah. So this all ties in perfectly to Ebola, you know, and this outbreak scare. And at this point, I would only say that it's a scare. Anything else? Right.
Well, I think the scare is going to go epidemic, and so it'll be a scare epidemic. How's that?
Yeah.
It's not even going to matter whether it's real or not. You know, they'll kill 5 or 8 or 10,000 of us. I don't know. I had to leave. There is a blueprint for what they're doing right now. Have you guys seen that? And it actually has the dates on it.
We've seen a number of different things. What specifically are you referring to?
It's SFICO, and it's the a pandemic drills. You know, this is a drill. That's what it is.
Yeah,
you've seen that?
Yeah, we've talked about the drills. There's multiple things. Oh, you're talking about the SIFMA?
Yeah.
Yeah, we mentioned that earlier.
Okay, all right, yeah.
And we'll put all that, by the way, folks, into the show notes, because he's right. This is very important. I was listening to the one of their webinars yesterday, and very informative, very interesting to see that they've been planning for this for a long time. Hey, Ray, thank you so much. I got to move on. I want to go to Harvey in Florida. Harvey, thanks for holding on, sir.
Yes, hello, Darren and Nancy. How are you today?
Doing
Hang
well,
in there,
thank
sir.
You.
Yep, I want to thank you for such an informative program. I look forward to it every Saturday. You know, we've killed so many people in the last 12 years alone, and I reckon maybe 1 million people and 2 million people wounded in Afghanistan, 1 million dead, 1 million wounded, 2 million wounded. We're sending drones to Pakistan. We're using them in Syria. We're bombing Syria and Iraq again. In Yemen and Somalia, we're using drones. We're killing and killing. And now we're supposedly so concerned we're going to send our soldiers to Africa, which we've had tens of thousands of soldiers in AFRICOM, in one of the little countries we took over there for the last 10 years. So, I mean, isn't it not ironic, but sort of like just a sick, demented joke that we're so worried about the health of the Africans. We can't stop killing black people, brown people. That's what we do.
Yeah. Well, look at.
I agree with you.
You know, as far as motive is concerned, I think it's also somebody's pointed out that the African, you know, the Sierra Leone is one of the largest exporters of diamonds. And their workers evidently have been on a big strike. And so somebody pointed out that these soldiers going in there might very well be to try to force these striking diamond workers back to work. And I thought that was kind of an interesting angle. I don't know if there's really anything to it, but it's worth mentioning anyway. But I think there's multiple things going on here. But the big thing is the question of whether any of this is real. And
well, when death is one of the greatest products that America puts out, and the millions of deaths is what we do. We send chemical weapons. We sent weapons of mass destruction to Saddam Hussein. So in the one hand, that's our main export is weapons and death and machines for death and chemical weapons. And where do you think they get those riot control devices? You don't think they're all made in America when the people want to riot and take back their countries? They send in the rubber bullets and the tear gas. What do you think makes that? So now we're supposedly so concerned about the lives of these little people in Africa. We're going to get to the bottom of that and we're going to save them as we're still dropping bombs all over the world.
Well, I've got two concerns. It's not real. Or two, the whole point of this was to actually infect the United States. Because, of course, we're still, you know, the holdouts in this entire global system. And I have to ask myself whether, once again, Africa is being used to damage the United States.
Well, like a germination area. It's like the germination area to infect us. Well
clearly we have a president who is all about damaging the United States.
Yeah. I think the last several presidents have been, but this one certainly outdoes all the rest, and probably the next one will outdo this one. I mean, because that seems to be the trend.
Yep.
Harvey, do you have anything else?
Luckily, we have a show like yours where we can bring some sanity to the airwaves and try to turn this thing around. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Harvey. And we do the best we can. You know,
we spent
hours studying this stuff to try to really figure out what's happening. And all you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is listen. Just pay attention to what the other side is saying. Pay attention to what they're not saying. Sometimes what they're not saying is just as important as what they do say. And then pay attention to the people around the peripheries of whatever incident is going on. Listen to what they're saying. In this case, we mentioned the African people. What are their opinions about it? And you can sometimes, you have to approach it this way because you have to, in order to figure out what's really going on, you have to read between the lines sometimes. But the truth is there. The truth will come out if you pay close attention. But that requires people turning the boob tube off. That requires, or at least watching it with a jaundiced eye, an analyzing eye, and getting your nose out of other social media stuff that where people are, it's all distraction. All right, moving along here before I talk us out of time, I want to go to... I think we did, Harvey. Let's go to Robert, Missouri. Robert, you're up next.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
I hear you loud and clear now.
All right. You know, back in the old late 1800s, you had a document called the Protocols of Zion. Well, maybe some of these folks need to read it, where they talked about spreading disease by inoculations. That's all the way from 1890s, people. This has been planned for a long, long time. And then you look at the same gang that ran the Soviet Union, where they killed around, according to Solzhenitsyn, about 60 million people.
Hello?
These people view us as cattle to be managed as a herd. We're nothing but animals to them. And this is now the acceleration of the democide, the genocide that's going on. You know, I heard James Wesley Rawls the other day on a program, and he's one of the foremost preppers.
Hey, Robert,
in the world.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have to take a quick time out here for the final break of the show, and we have one more segment, and I'll hold you over, and we'll come right back to you, okay? Just sit tight there. Folks, we'll be back here in a moment. This is Governed America. Final segment is straight ahead. We're back. This is Governed America and the final stretch of the program, final segment. And Robert in Missouri is on the air right now. Robert, go ahead, sir. We'll continue with your thoughts.
Yeah, I just wanted to finish this up. You know, James Wesley Rawls, this dude's a really big author in the prepper community, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he brought up this point that what they might attempt to do with this Ebola false flag, this orchestrated event, they might try to say that the money supply itself is tainted with the disease, and that way they could implement this last little stretch here, this little cashless society, with the Obamacare, with the mark of the beast being buried in the Obamacare, with these implantable devices, et cetera, and the death panels coming in. Both of these are supposed to come in by 2017, I believe. And so, that's an angle there. But the thing we need to be aware of is not Ebola itself, but the inoculation that they want to give us to supposedly help us from getting it, because this Bill Gates Monsanto cocktail of death that's coming up with that one angle of the Ebola virus, and there's numerous subsidiary companies as well that are developing, that are all doing well in the stock market, as you said. And so I work for a government agency, let's say here in the St. Louis area, and it's not of the feds, but the moment they try to tell me that I must take it, you know, as a part of my job, I'm going to tell them to shove the job. And all you feds that are listening right now, you better have this come to Jesus moment in the so-called federal family, as Janet the Bull Napolitano talks about. When they try to foist this vaccine on all you feds, and I know there's a bunch of NSA and FBI probably listening because they listen to this network, you better think twice about taking that vaccine, you and your family, because guess what? It's probably death cocktailed with back doors into this new vaccine that they're going to probably try to throw on us. And so I just want to get that out there.
That I highly suspect that what's going on here in the United States is, in fact, internationally financed, because when you consider sending thousands of men over to Africa supposedly for this reason, having the CDC do response teams to wherever there are outbreaks in the United States, and having SWAT teams and protocols and hiring a Ebola czar, this is a multi-billion-dollar project going on just in the United States alone. And I suspect that there's some international assistance in this project.
Yeah, listen, I want to thank you for your call, Robert.
Right.
We're running out of time, and I want to get to this report. We also have a couple more callers on the line, too. Thank you so much, sir. You're absolutely right. And they do listen, by the way. I just had a very low-flying military helicopter fly over the house just a little bit ago during one of the commercial breaks. And the other day, well, it's been about a month ago now, I think, we had for 15 minutes, my brother-in-law told me he saw one of these military helicopters hovering at low altitude over my house. So they do listen. They are keeping track. And so I just reiterate what Robert said to you, you federalities out there, you better think about what you're a part of. Because they, meaning the feds, meaning those that are your bosses, they eat their own. If you don't believe me, ask Mr. Hal Turner. He was one of their informants. Now he's on trial. I think he was in prison last I knew. They eat their own. You better keep track and realize what you're a part of, what you're helping to implement. You know, Nancy, we have this report came out of the Rockefeller Foundation.
Yes.
And I wanted to make sure we got this in today. It's called Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development. I pulled this right off the Rockefeller Foundation website. Page 18 of this report, and we'll put this in the show notes, says scenario narratives lockstep. A world of tighter top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership with limited innovation and growing citizen pushback. Listen to a little of this. They say in 2012, the pandemic that the world had been anticipating for years finally hit. Unlike 2009's H1N1, this new influenza strain originating from wild geese was extremely virulent and deadly. Even the most pandemic-prepared nations were quickly overwhelmed when the virus streaked around the world, infecting nearly 20% of the global population and killing 8 million in just 7 months, the majority of them healthy young adults. The pandemic also had a deadly effect on economics. International mobility of both people and goods screeched to a halt, debilitating industries like tourism and breaking global supply chains. Even locally, normally bustling shops and office buildings sat empty for months, devoid of both employees and customers. The pandemic blanketed the planet through disproportionate numbers died, though disproportionate numbers died in Africa, Southeast Asia, and Central America, where the virus spread like wildfire in the absence of official containment protocols. But even in developed countries, containment was a challenge. The United States' initial policy of strongly discouraging citizens from flying, which of course is not the exact opposite of what they're actually doing now, but they said it proved deadly in its leniency, accelerating the spread of the virus not just within the U.S., but across borders. However, in a few countries did fare better, China in particular. The Chinese government's quick imposition and enforcement of mandatory quarantine for all citizens, as well as its instant and near hermetic sealing off of all its borders, saved millions of lives, stopping the spread of the virus far earlier than in other countries and enabling a swifter post-pandemic recovery. China's government was not the only one that took extreme measures to protect its citizens from risk and exposure. During the pandemic, national leaders around the world flexed their authority and imposed airtight rules and restrictions, from the mandatory wearing of face masks to body temperature checks at the entries to communal spaces like train stations and supermarkets. Now listen to this, folks. Even after the pandemic faded, this more authoritarian control and oversight of citizens and their activities stuck and even intensified. In order to protect themselves from the spread of increasingly global problems, from pandemics and transnational terrorism to environmental crises and rising poverty, leaders around the world took a firmer grip on power. At first, the notion of a more controlled world gained wide acceptance and approval. Citizens willingly gave up some of their sovereignty and their privacy to more paternalistic states in exchange for greater safety and stability. Citizens were more tolerant and even eager for top-down direction and oversight, and national leaders had more latitude to impose order in the way that they saw fit. In developed countries, this heightened oversight took many forms. Biometric IDs for all citizens, for example, and tighter regulation of key industries whose stability was deemed vital to national interests. And many developed countries enforced cooperation with a suite of new regulations and agreements, slowly but steadily restored both order and, importantly, economic growth. This is a report by the Rockefeller Foundation, ladies and gentlemen, visualizing how effectively that a pandemic in the United States and really the world would help governments take control from top down. Now, why do you think the Rockefeller Foundation, ladies and gentlemen, would be studying such a thing? We're talking about people with a lot of money and a lot of ability to be able to put into place these plans.
Sounds like the playbook to me.
Sounds like the playbook to me, too. I'm trying to decide if I have time to take... I'll try to take Mike, South Carolina. Can you be real quick, Mike?
Sure can. I got 3 points to pass on very quickly. Thanks for all you do. this Ebola, I think, is something that's really not for real, totally. I think you're trying to take your mind off of illegal immigration and also the Fukushima situation, which is far worse than people might think.
Yeah.
We have, there was a previous caller who mentioned something about some numbers for Middle East. I will give the numbers that I got. That is that there have been over 11 million Middle Easterns murdered and killed over there. Our troop casualties have been over 75,000. The cost of this is not $15 billion, what they want you to believe. It's over $50 billion a month. The health care death squads or death panel begins January 1st, of which Annis Parker, the first known lesbian mayor of Houston, is a board member of 1 of 15. That's what I had to pass on.
Yeah, listen, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Yeah, we also have another lesbian mayor telling the churches what they can and can't preach, too. We didn't have a chance to get to that story today. Maybe we'll get to it next week. Hey, thank you so much, folks, for being with us. Thank you, callers. David in New Hampshire, I apologize I didn't get a chance to get to you. Call back next week, and we'll take your call. God bless you, folks. Thanks, Nancy. Pray for this republic. Do what you can to restore it and spread the word. We'll talk to you next week. With